It is episode number 52 of Black Hole Sundays. It's me, Stephen Langford, alongside Joe Spadoni. As we didn't have much to react to last week, and Spadoni, I told this earlier to you, and if anyone was looking for the previous episode of Black Hole Sundays, I made it so that in the settings on the podcast, when you post it and you publish it, I didn't make it published for the public. Instead, I made it published only for the private. I don't know what's the point of having that setting. These podcasts are going to go out to the public. I don't know why we need it private. I think it's to make it early and so you can make it as soon as possible and then just, you know, do it in a scheduled time. But nevertheless, we're back with a new one. We're back with episode 52. What's going on, Spadell?
Oh, we're back. Well, I think we are. Are we going to make sure this one gets public, Steve? Is this one going out? Okay.
Yes,
all right. We're good then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. A little combine action. You love the combine, don't you, Steve?
Oh.
You love watching the 40s, the three-cone drill, the verticals. Yeah.
Everything.
It's so fun.
Everything, man. Everything. Man, I'm like, you know what? Kenny Pickett is just not going to make it in the NFL because his hand size is 8.5 inches. That's just
Some might say size matters, Steve. Size matters. An inch here, an inch there. Makes a difference.
You know what they say about guys with small hands? And I mean, you know, who was it? Who was it that had a monster? Who was it that had a monster combine? Was Jordan Davis, I think, from Georgia, the defensive tackle who's running?
Oh my god, he's like 340 pounds, and he ran like a sub 5:40, right?
Yes. Now, normally I'm not one to go crazy over a 40 time, but with his pedigree from college going into this draft, combined with that. Holy shit, man! I think Jordan Davis is going to be a good player.
He's a beast, and he'd work in what Patrick Graham does, which is he mixes in the 3-4 fronts. Like everything's this is not your run of the mill Gus Bradley, who's just going to have a 4-3 base. That's it. Like, like with his defense, you can draft anyone. It's a possibility, right? That's the nice thing about having a guy like Patrick Graham, this new innovative young mind, and yeah, it's exciting, but. The Raider way, Steve, as we know, not to get too excited about the NFL draft. So we'll see. But there are some guys out there. Davis is one of them. N'Kobe Dean is another guy from Georgia. Just that Georgia team and what you saw in the national championship, how they just dominated Alabama from a physicality standpoint. Like, who does that? Like,
you don't.
Nick Saban's the guy that dominates everyone else with physicality. You don't dominate him. But that Georgia team and that defense, it was something special. So I think it would be wise to draft one of those guys, but we'll see. I mean, wide receivers, too. You saw Chris Olave with the 4.3 40 time, too. That's everyone saying, Al Davis, remember? Speed.
Oh, of course.
Speed kills. So
would they really need to draft a wide receiver, though?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Depending on what this market dictates, if you can get a guy like an Allen Robinson – for let's say, like we were talking about this last pod too, like Allen Robinson, 3 years, I don't know, $60 million, $45 million, I don't know, somewhere in between that range. I think you'd be pretty happy. Like, and maybe if it's a prove it deal, maybe it's 2 years, I don't know, $30-35 million, something like that. But I think a guy like that, they've been linked to DJ Chark from the Jaguars. Another guy, I'm not huge on him, he's good, but. It's not a sexy name like an Allen Robinson, per se, or one of these young guns like an Olave or a Garrett Wilson, Burks from Arkansas. But there's a lot of talent out there, and I don't think if you – well, elephant in the room, Devontae Adams, by the way. I don't know if you saw that, Steve. He bought a house.
We'll get to it.
He bought a house in Las Vegas. I'm not saying he's coming to the Raiders, but I'm not saying it. Probably just nicer to live there than in Green Bay, Wisconsin, I'm sure. But if you whiff on a guy like a Devontae, there's still a lot of options out there. Even if you don't end up drafting one, you still have Hunter Renfro. You still have Darren Waller. So you got some pieces there. And you could add in another guy like a Robinson or a Chark, and you can feel pretty good heading into next season with your offense.
So that's going to be predicated on the franchise tag. The franchise tag deadline is tomorrow at 1 p.m., so we await to see what happens with that. I still think the franchise tag is stupid and I don't understand why it's even in place. I'm surprised that the players didn't make some sort of change to it within the CBA. They all seem to hate the franchise tag. Teams love it because they could just hang on to one more guy for one more year and take them for what the average is of the top 10 at their position or whatever it is, and then they go from there. But there's one guy, before we get to the franchise tag candidates, who's been tagged so far, who is left to sign the franchise tag, and one of those guys that's in line for a big contract extension, Max Crosby. We'll get to those details. But something that intrigued me, a little report that I saw earlier, and this is something that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, these are where their relationships matter. Now, I don't know what it was like on the offensive side of the or the defensive side of the ball, because it was Josh McDaniel on the offensive side. So I don't know what his relationship was with the defense. But I guarantee you Dave Ziegler has some sort of relationship with this guy. And we kind of talked about him. We actually – well, first off, we talked about Chase Winovich from the Patriots, if you remember, Spadone. That was a little while back when we were just trying to find people on the Patriots as they could get. But Kyle Van Noy, linebacker, was released today. You have any interest there in Kyle Van Noy? I wouldn't mind seeing him here on the Raiders personally.
Well, the right price, absolutely. He's only 30 years old. It's not like he's like 33 or 34. He's not super long in the tooth. I mean, he feels like that because the Patriots in the last decade have feels like they've been in every single Super Bowl. So you've seen him a lot in the playoffs and whatnot. So he does have some tread on those tires, if you will. But hey, he's a Nevada native, grew up in Reno. Mm-hmm. It would be a homecoming, if you will, with McDaniels and Ziegler, having the familiarity there, then coming to home back to Las Vegas. So I'm not mad at it at all. He's a really good player. It does concern me a little bit. This would be his third different contract within the first these last 3 years. Yes. With the Dolphins, didn't work there. Then he came back to the Patriots. Now the Patriots are releasing him. So that gives me a little pause whenever Belichick moves off of someone, and Belichick, obviously the greatest defensive mind of our generation. Anytime he's moving off a guy, it kind of does make me pause a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think some of that has to do with injury, but none of it has to do with personality. The dude's very well liked among his teammates. And, I don't know if it'd be too late to have him be like a Pro Bowl type of linebacker. I don't see that happening. He'd be there more for depth purposes if need be. He had a 2-year, $12 million contract, which gave him a $6 million base salary with only $6 million guaranteed at signing, and they released him. They just straight up released him. I don't know what the reasoning was, but if the Raiders can get him, it looks like they'd be able to get him for cheap. And I mean, how long ago was it? 2 years ago, he got a big contract with the Dolphins, the 4-year, $51 million deal. For some reason, it didn't work out. Maybe we need to look more into it. But man, I'm all about it. If you can get him for cheap, I'm all about it. It looks like the Raiders right now have $17.7 million in cap space, as the salary cap has officially been set. It's at $208 million for 2022.
They have ways to add on to that, shed salary.
Correct.
I'm sure you'll see that in the next week or so.
That's exactly what you're going to see. That's
yeah,
what the
you're going to start seeing teams more and more like these Van Noys, people getting released, people restructuring their contracts, pushing mm-hmm. back guarantees, backloading things or front loading it, if you will, vice versa. There's ways to manipulate the cap in your favor, and you'll start seeing that with the Raiders, I'm sure, and many other teams.
Yes. So Kyle Van Noy, he's right out there. And it looks like the Raiders are making their coaching hires, too. We'll get to those at the end of the show, and we'll kind of just go through the list of names that we got to deal with as Raider fans for the next season, at least. But the franchise tag, the deadline is tomorrow at 1 p.m. So far, as they have been tagged, Orlando Brown from the Kansas City Chiefs, 25-year-old star offensive tackle. He's very good. He has officially been tagged. Jesse Bates from the Bengals, safety. He's officially been tagged. David Njoku from the Browns, tight end. He's officially been tagged. I didn't know that David Njoku was going to be worth that much of a contract extension that you'd need to tag him so that you could save some money this season. But nevertheless, and also you don't want to sign him to that big of an extension. And it's looking like the Buccaneers are expected to place the franchise tag on Chris Godwin, although nothing has been done yet. So those are our list of guys so far. And one guy that you already, did we mention this already or is that off air? But Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley. I don't know if he was going to be a franchise tag candidate, but this guy who we might have been, you know, saying, hey, Raiders should take a look at him if they need a number one receiver. Calvin Ridley, not going to play next season because he was gambling. Apparently, he'd been gambling with just parlays with 3, 5, and 8-leg parlays in his time off. This went back in the month of November. They did some investigating into it at the beginning of February. So that's where we're at with the franchise tag right now. Calvin Ridley, I think he's off the table. And one guy who's due for an extension, Joe, and someone you already mentioned, Devontae Adams. Hasn't been tagged yet. They have till tomorrow to do so. He's looking for a contract extension. He bought a house in Vegas. How much are we going to look into that?
It's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. legal tampering, I do not think, has begun yet.
No.
So you can't be talking to other teams. If it passes tomorrow, if 1 o'clock passes, 1 o'clock Pacific, if it passes and he is not franchise tagged, what does that tell you? Does that tell you Aaron Rodgers isn't coming back to Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that tell you Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver and Devontae's following, or is Aaron Rodgers going somewhere else and Devontae's like looking like, all right, well, I'm going to try to maximize my value here. Maybe I'll sign with a team like the Raiders or somewhere else, and that'll be it. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I would expect them to use it, though, still. But you never know. Gutekunst said in his presser that, hey, he left it out of as a possibility. Like, we might not franchise tag this guy, so we'll see.
Gutekunst has been a weird guy so far this combine. Didn't he say no team has called them about Aaron Rodgers, even though Washington had been on the look for a bunch of teams? Denver, who brought the Packers offensive coordinator solely for the reason of trading for Aaron Rodgers and giving him more of an incentive there to come to Denver and be the next quarterback. I mean, Brian Gutekunst, I don't believe a word that he says, but it's just very strange. Like, yeah, all right, we're not going to – there's a possibility that we won't franchise tag him. That's what he said?
Yeah, he said that it's a possibility. I think the reporter asked him a question. He was during the combine, like, hey, Devontae Adams coming up here. Let me see if I can search the exact thing what he said. Gutekunst.
Terrible.
Devontae. Here we go. There's been constant communication, yada, 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 yada. March 1st, hopes to have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, but situations are separate, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, we'd like to know as soon as we can, just because I think it helps for planning and moving forward. Those two situations are completely different. They're two different players, two different situations, both great in their own right, and we are lucky to have them. Hopefully, we'll be able to have them both moving forward, but they are separate. That was just about 5 days ago. So that was the latest from him.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we have yet to see. Are you going to be able to find any Raider fan who's against this at all? Like, are you, I don't think if anyone is able to get Devontae Adams and you extend Derek Carr, like, that's the way you're going to shut up the haters, if anything, because Josh McDaniels, supposedly, he said at the combine that they're going to move forward with Derek Carr. I don't know. I mean, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll said that the Seahawks had no intention of trading Russell Wilson, which in turn means, yeah, he's actually up in the market. He's up.
Yeah, I'll believe it when Carr signs an extension that he's not up for grabs, right? I'll believe it then. Like, until then, people are still calling about it, per Vinny Bonsignor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's saying teams are calling about Derek. So, and they're, I don't know if they're answering, if they're telling him no, what they're saying, but he hasn't signed an extension yet. So that'll be interesting. And I think fans would be okay, obviously, if Devontae Adams signed a huge deal and Derek, like, took like a let, like that's what he's insinuated. Derek said, I'll take less money if we bring in Devontae. But I think fans would get a little upset if they see Derek sign for like 4 years, $150 million, not taking a pay cut, and then we're kind of back in cap trouble. Like, right. I think that's where fans are like, hey, you want to take this for Devontae, but if we don't get Devontae, you're just going to sign for more. What about a guy like an Allen Robinson or DJ Chark? Or, dare I say his name, who may be coming back to the Raiders? Amari Cooper, Steven.
I'm out.
You're out?
I'm out. I'm out.
He's a number one talent still.
I'm out on Coop. He's a number one talent who has the motivation of a veteran wide receiver who's on his way out. That dude, you could tell that he had no interest in playing Raider football. He's all about himself. He had all the talent in the world. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the dude was one of the cleanest route runners that I'd ever seen. I was watching his practice videos in awe the first time he got drafted by the Raiders because I was like, oh, my God, this little stop and go that he has, this little waggle with his head, the way that he's able to go on these slants and fool the defender, he's gonna cause some problems. But you can tell it just wasn't there. And I don't know, maybe you need a newer head coach that isn't old. All he's had so far in his career are a bunch of head coaches who can't see eye to eye with him and who can't connect with him. I don't know if Josh McDaniels is the different guy than that, but Jack Del Rio, John Gruden, I mean, those guys, he's not going to see eye to eye with any of those guys. Who else did he have? Did he have Dennis Allen? Was he on those Dennis Allen's team?
No, Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
And then he's got Mike McCarthy over there and Jason Garrett in Dallas. Like, I don't know. Maybe he hasn't had a coach who can connect with him, but he seems to need that extra motivation. And I just don't know if the Raiders have the time for that.
Yeah. And don't forget, like, he's the number one until another guy comes around. Like, Michael Crabtree was the number one on those Raiders teams, not Amari Cooper. Who did Derek look for when they needed a clutch first down? It was Michael Crabtree, or the game-winning touchdown. It was Michael Crabtree, or the two-point conversion against the Saints. It was Michael Crabtree. CeeDee Lamb. I'm looking for CeeDee Lamb more than I am Amari Cooper. And granted, Amari had a good divisional playoff game. I'm not going to say he didn't, whereas CeeDee Lamb struggled a little bit. But it's an interesting point. I don't know how much of Derek has a say into that. I would assume a lot if we assume that Garrick's coming back. His relationship with Amari, I wonder what that is like. Derek's a nice guy. He gets along with everyone. It's hard to imagine that he has beef with Amari.
I guarantee you, I love Amari. Oh man, I love Amari. He's one of my best. He's one of my best friends. He's my brother for life. He was once a Raider. Now he's a brother for life. I don't know what impression I'm doing.
It's a fair point. Amari seems like it's Amari problem and not like a Derek or a Dak problem. And right. Derek and Dak are really good quarterbacks too. So it's not like, and I think there was some comments from Amari at some point last season where he's like, yeah, just, you know, wish I could have gotten targeted more. Like, when you start hearing that in a game, I wish I could have gotten targeted more. It's like, all right, bud. Like, at that point, it's like you're throwing your wide receiver, your coaching staff under the bus. Like, that's the stuff that got T.O. booted out of a lot of places. Like, listen, you can be as good as you want, but once you start throwing quarterbacks and coaches and other players under the bus, I'm out. I'm out. So I'm with you. I'm out on the thought of Amari Cooper. Thought I'd throw it out there just to catch your feelings about it.
Yeah.
Because it's a name. I was watching ESPN, whoever, whatever, like this Justin or whatever. And like two of the analysts said, the Raiders are a perfect fit. I was like, yeah, no. I don't think that's happening.
All of them think the Raiders are a perfect fit. Unbelievable.
Well, it's just because they see him. Henry Ruggs is gone. They need a number one wideout. Here you go.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Henry Ruggs, we are going to be seeing his contract come into play here, actually, because they are currently spending the last of his remaining rookie deal, the rest of his remaining money on the rookie deal. He's worth just under $5 million in dead cap money. You got Damon Arnett, Jalen Richard, Tanner Muse, and Isaiah Johnson is all what they've spent in dead money. That's about $10.3 million.
And that's coming off the books or that's carrying over?
That's carrying over. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do here. I don't know if they could like restructure Corey Littleton's contract or they could just say, look, you're a complete bust and we're just going to cut you. I wonder what's going to happen there as we transition a little more to the Raiders side of things, because it looks like Max Crosby's in line for an extension, and that number is astronomical. So it's looking like he could get paid like the third high, he could become the third highest paid edge rusher right now. It looks like Nick Bosa could become the first $30 million a year non-quarterback paid if his agent gets that done. TJ Watt obviously signing a big contract earlier this year. He's got about a $28 million a year deal. But Corey Littleton right now is making $15.7 million against the cap. And that's also what it would cost in dead money. Like they are, it'd just be a waste, really, to cut him. Like I don't know. It's all really confusing. I don't know if they can restructure his deal or what. Nick Kwiatkowski is up there among the not the highest paid linebackers, but he's getting paid $7 million a year too. And you're more likely than not even going to play. You're not even going to play him. Like Divine Diablo and Denzel Perryman and KJ Wright were taking a majority of the snaps last year. It wasn't those two guys because they were. I mean, it's not to Kwiatkowski's fault. He was hurt the whole time. But if they can find a way to restructure that deal, I think that they need to, and I think that'd be the best case scenario. But Max Crosby, he is projected, and this was according to Pro Football Focus, he's projected to get a 5-year, $136 million deal, which would be worth $27 million over those 5 years. That would put him right above Joey Bosa. And the one thing that's going to get him more than anything is the guaranteed money, Joe. Like, that's what it's all about with these players. They want the money, they want the guarantee to know, just in case, hey, if my career comes to an end here within this 5-year deal, at least I'm going to be guaranteed X amount of money. Like, that's what these guys are looking for. I think that's really what's going to put them over the top. So if you're looking at a guy at the top of the list here, you got TJ Watt, you got Joey Bosa, and you got Myles Garrett. I think Myles Garrett might even get another extension in a couple of years, but Myles Garrett is getting paid big time right now also. I think Max Crosby is going to want that, and he's going to want to get paid where he feels he is, which is at the top as an edge rusher. He was a Pro Bowler, and he's been, you know, always in the top five in sacks. He has been fantastic. But right now, Myles Garrett is getting $50 million fully guaranteed, where Joey Bosa is given $78 million fully guaranteed, while TJ Watt is getting $80 million fully guaranteed. So your mind when you heard all this Max Crosby news, is it worth it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a Raiders fan too, you're scarred from what happened with Khalil Mack when they didn't pay him and they just traded him. Like, you want to be able to keep these young defensive stars in your rotation. It's hard to find what was that John Gruden said? It's hard to find a good edge rusher, right?
Hard to find a great one.
Yeah, hard to find a great one. And they obviously had that with Khalil Mack, traded him away. I would say that was pretty much a wash, if not a win for the Bears. They have a franchise guy that they can at least sell to the fan base on defense. And the Raiders got who? Well, Josh Jacobs. I don't even know if he was one of the picks. Like,
and a bunch of free agents too. Not only just the draft picks, but it's the free
Ryan Edwards. I think he was on there.
Ugh. Where none of them are on the team anymore.
Exactly.
I think like that left them room to get Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams and all these guys. LaMarcus Joyner, another one.
And I think Max's game translates well over time. He's a high motor guy. Like, he's an effort guy. Like, he just keeps going and going, and he's young enough to where by the time that rolls around for his second contract, if he's still with the team, yeah, maybe you start to think about, okay, do we want this guy back? But right now, he's in the prime of his career. He was a DPOY candidate for most of the season, led the league in total pressures. He was a second-team All-Pro. He's absolutely worth this. He's absolutely worth maybe not the top guy. I mean, I don't know if he wants the Myles Garrett, where it looks like he's got like $100 million guaranteed or something like that. But he's definitely on the Joey Bosa level, absolutely. I'd take Max Crosby in a heartbeat over Joey Bosa, who seems to disappear in a lot in big games.
And he also is hurt all the time.
Exactly. That's the one thing you can say with Max, knock on wood. He just doesn't get hurt a lot. He doesn't.
Now, according to SpoTrack, Defensive end Marcus Davenport from the Saints. He's going to be in line to get a new deal. They're averaging his contract at $23 million. Nick Bosa, they're averaging his at $19.2 million. And they're averaging Max Crosby and his projected market value at $19 million. So I don't think they have a very good read right now on what's dictating the market, because as far as I'm seeing, it's much more than just $19 million a year. Now, again, that could, I mean, go against the cap. We really don't know. But I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Every single year, he's managed to improve. Now, he's not a game wrecker. See, if they do pay him this money, like, he's going to have to be Max Crosby against the Bengals, where he's getting, what did he get, like 5 sacks in that game against the Bengals a couple of years ago. He needs to be the guy that's a game wrecker. I don't know how many of those games he really had this season where he just totally wrecked everything that the offense was doing. Like Max Crosby,
that Chargers game last game of the year, that's the one you point to, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was chasing out that second half. He was just all over Herbert.
Yes.
And hey, that was the game he must win, made the playoffs. Like, and he had the big sack against Joe Burrow. I mean, who did sack Joe Burrow in the playoffs? But
right,
he showed up when it mattered most, I felt like, in the biggest games. So we'll see. I think they definitely start working on this now. You start thinking about other guys on the team, who they can start working on. Who are some other team names, Steve, you think they should start working on right now?
Well, here, that's the next question I was going to ask you, was like Josh Jacobs is right up there. So I'm wondering, like, what's the pecking order here for you when it comes to who the Raiders are in line to?
Definitely Hunter Renfrow. Lock him up.
So let's just take these five players right now who can be due for an extension. Now, Darren Waller, he's up there on this list, but he received a 4-year deal a couple of years ago, and Darren Waller can be right up there. Derek Carr, Hunter Renfrow, Max Crosby, and Josh Jacobs. Those are the five guys right there. If you had to rank them as far as let's get this deal done, let's get this locked up, who are the guys that you're focusing on right now? Because Darren Waller, I don't think is going to go anywhere. And Josh Jacobs has been a mainstay of this team. His rookie contract is coming up. So where were you at with that?
Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Carr. Renfrow. Jacobs.
Yeah.
I think those are the levels of importance. I think Renfro's proven himself as a legit number two option. Like, that's a legit thing. Like, he was the guy that stepped up when Ruggs left the team. It was him and Waller, but then Waller was hurt for the second half. Post Thanksgiving, we didn't see him. So that Hunter Renfrow, absolutely, he's earned it. He's just always open. He's clutch, makes the catches. Any other white athlete superlative that you want to toss in there, he is that. He's absolutely a guy you need to extend, and he's Derek's favorite target. He's the guy he trusts with the most. Third and Renfrow. It's not a fourth and Renfrow. Like, that's him. Jacob scares me. Like, and he made it, and to his credit, he made this decision a lot harder with how he played towards the end of the year, because he started really picking it up. Like, he was getting hurt for that first half, the first game of the year, right? He left that Ravens game, like, his knee, his ankle just wasn't healthy. And then as the second half started picking up of the season, he started picking up. Once Kenyon Drake, unfortunately, he broke his ankle, then he was out, but then they started getting, hopping on his back, Jacobs. And I thought he was really good in that Bengals game. I thought he was really good, obviously, having that game-winning drive against the Chargers that led to the Carlson field goal. He has made the decision a lot harder, but I could understand where Ziegler and McDaniels maybe want to go in another direction here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the tough one, though, man. Jacobs, like you said, is the tough one. I don't know which way they want to go. I don't know how much any team wants to pay for a running back. Like, how confident are McDaniels and Ziegler in their ability to find those undervalued free agent running backs who can help impact your team right away, or where they can find a guy like in the any rounds 3 through 6 because it's very risky to draft a running back in the first and second round. You're pretty much obligated to start them right away. I wonder how confident they are with that, because I'd be very hesitant if I were the Raiders to give Jacobs a deal.
Yeah, and it's going back
to last season, man. It was when that first game against the Ravens. I mean, he scores a touchdown and he's already grimacing and limping off the field. And it felt like it was going that direction the entire year. Like, you know, Kenyon Drake had to start a couple of games. Like, it was, and Peyton Barber even. It just didn't pan out well. I mean, he could be gotten for cheap, maybe, but it's such a risk to just have, all right, $10 million against the salary cap right there when you got to pay all these other guys. When offensive linemen, when you want to, you know, find another tackle that you want to pay big money to. Again, edge rushers, like we're talking about, Max Crosby is that number one guy, and he's worth that money, but you want to get those guys. Receivers are going to cost a lot of money. Hunter Renfro, maybe they be more inclined to get a deal done now because his contract is starting to run out, and you got guys like Cooper Kupp who are going to be in line for an extension upwards of whatever their contract is right now, which is $14 million. Maybe you give him the deal now and you get him for a value that's pretty damn good, as these other receivers are getting contracts like Justin Jefferson and all these rookies, for example, like CeeDee Lamb. All these guys are going to be getting good contracts. Maybe you get Renfro for a good deal.
I wish Renfro was on the level of those guys. Like, and maybe his agent, who, if he's a good agent, would be like, listen, let's look at these guys' numbers compared to yours. You're not that far off, Hunter. All right. You got all these receptions. So, like, he's not a number one. Like, he's not on those guys' levels as far as, like, the intangibles. Like, a Cooper Kupp, a Justin Jefferson, a CeeDee Lamb. Like, those guys, their skill sets are just off the charts.
Right.
And Hunter Renfro's a really good player. He's just not those guys. But... To your point, he's going to start getting more and more expensive the more you wait, because the market will get drier and teams might be guessing. You get the right team in the right situation at the right point, they might overspend for a guy like him. But nothing he said to the media or anything would indicate that I think he would want to move on. I think he likes being in Las Vegas. It's funny. I did see a video that I didn't see on draft night. I guess they were talking to him where he was telling his wife, like, God, one place I don't want to go to is Oakland. I don't know where it is. I don't know. The team's is like, I don't know if I want to. Then he gets drafted by them. And then he's like, you know what? And he's like he's a man of faith. So he's like, maybe this is God's way of telling me, look for the positives in anything. And then he's like, I ended up loving my time in Oakland, yada, yada, yada. Now I'm in Las Vegas. So weird how things work out. He loves being a Raider. He loves Derek Carr, obviously. So I hope they can get it done. Because he deserves it. He does.
Yeah. I think he would. And I think they'd be inclined to give it to him. But they got guys they need to pay, man. They got guys they need to pay.
It's a good problem.
Darren Waller's going to be another one, man. Darren Waller's going to be up for an extension. Tight ends you can get for relatively cheap. The tight end market hasn't exactly been reset as of late. It's more that edge rusher one. If you can get Max Crosby and sign him now, you'd probably be saving yourself a lot of headaches within negotiations, saying that, oh, he's worth this, he's worth that. Then the Raiders look like they're saying, oh, he's not worth that amount of money. We don't value him like these other teams are valuing their edge rushers. Just a whole bunch of just a whole mess. Get it done. That's what I say. And the most important thing with Crosby is he hasn't missed a game since 2019.
No, he's extremely durable, knock on wood. And that's rare for a guy like a defensive end where you're just constantly moving. You're constantly getting guys falling on top of you, 300-pound offensive linemen running into your knees and whatnot. So that's definitely your best ability is availability, and he's got that 10 out of 10. So pay him, Steve. Pay him. Did you see the comments, by the way, of Ziegler or McDaniels, one of them that was on NFL Network? They don't know what to do with Alex Leatherwood. That's going to be an interesting thing to see what they do with him this year. They didn't comment on whether they see him as a tackle or a guard. I mean, his only positive was that he played every single game, but that's, I mean, if you're playing every single game but you're a turnstile, what does it really matter, you know? So that's going to be another interesting little wrinkle, if you will, to see how what happens this offseason with him, because maybe there's potential. I mean, Colton Miller was really bad his rookie year, but we've talked about this. He played through an injury, left tackle. He's obviously been one of the best in the league now, got that contract last season, has proven his worth. Maybe you'd take another risk like that with Leatherwood, but I don't know. He didn't really show a lot of promise that rookie season. So
he is going to have a major year this year. He's going to have to take a gigantic leap forward, a Colton Miller type of leap forward, where you're getting, where you just don't say his name. How often were we saying Colton Miller's name and just, I mean, forgetting about him, just forgetting yeah. about him because he was so damn good last year.
And how many times? Yeah. Sorry, not to cut you off. Not to cut you off, but how many times? Yeah. And then just how many times you would hear Alex Leatherwood before the play started.
Constantly.
Just all the just false starts. You just think about that playoff game. Oh, if they could just have just no pre-snap penalties, they might have won the game.
You never know.
All holds. Ugh.
You never know, man. And you'd see him get rattled. You'd see him get rattled. Darius Leonard, I'll never forget it. You could see Darius Leonard is just talking trash at the offensive line already after Leatherwood missed a block. And then on the following play, you could see Darius Leonard is still talking, and then Alex Leatherwood goes for a false start because he's in his dome about what's happening with the defense. But I think that this combine here, we're going to see a lot in these coming days, guys getting cut, guys, you know, them creating more salary cap space, and then eventually you're going to see deals done for Derek Carr. Max Crosby, it's looking like he's in line for one. And that's really going to be the talk there. That's going to be the talk. I don't think they have anybody up as a franchise tag candidate. They could do that for Max Crosby if they want.
Do you know the last Raiders player to get franchise tagged? I saw that earlier on Twitter, and it blew my mind.
Franchise tagged. Oh.
At first, I thought it was a guy like a Leckler or a Seabass.
Right. Well, okay. Well, can what year? Like, what year can you?
I'll tell you the era, Jason Campbell era.
The Jason Campbell era, huh? Offense or defense?
Defense.
Derek Burgess.
No,
because that wasn't the Jason
Campbell. Tyvon Branch.
What? No.
They franchise tagged him, and then they gave him an extension.
Really?
Yeah. Not their greatest move.
Number one in your program, number 33 in your heart. My God, Tyvon Branch. Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
Ding, Tyvon Branch making the play.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So there have been some changes at the coaching with the coaching staff as of late. So let's just go down the list here. And Spadoni, you don't even have to give an opinion on him if you want, because who really knows how these guys are going to go? But it's looking like they really are trying to create the New England Patriots here. New offensive coordinator is Mick Lombardi, not Mike, who's his son, Mick, 33 years old. He was the wide receivers coach for the Patriots, and he was big within their red zone planning. So Mick Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, of course, Josh McDaniels is going to be holding down a lot of the plays, and he's going to be the primary play caller, but you can expect Mick Lombardi is going to play that sort of role as the offensive coordinator, as they do, except for he's just not calling plays. Carmen Brasillo is the offensive line coach, who coached his only two seasons in the NFL, and he was the co-offensive line coach for New England, so you got him. Edgar Bennett is the only carryover from the Raiders staff in the last year. He's the wide receivers coach, 53 years old. This one's an interesting one. This guy does not look like he'd be a quarterback's coach. He looks like he'd be the coach of like a water polo team. Bo Hardegree, you played water polo, right?
I did. Sophomore year, Palma High School, baby.
He legit looks like one because he's got like this, he's got this tan about him where it's not so much on his forehead. And it's just all below the forehead. It's kind of like a golfer's look. He looks like a golfer, actually. You know what? It's more like that.
I'm looking at him right now, definitely.
He's 37 years old. He's been coaching since 2008, which is just insane. I mean, think about that. He's been coaching since he was 23. He coached the quarterbacks in Miami from 2016 to 2018, and he was an offensive assistant in New England last year. So the offensive assistant to Bill Belichick is bringing the offensive assistant over to Josh McDaniels. So he's here. Of course, you got Patrick Graham as the defensive coordinator. Antonio Pierce as the linebackers coach.
I like that hire.
That's great, isn't it?
I liked him when, well, I don't know how good of a coach he is, but I mean, he's been solid with Herm Edwards at ASU, and they've been a respectable team. And I liked him as an analyst. He was a good linebacker. I'm optimistic about that. I saw a lot of people crushing it. Like, who? Antonio Pierce? I was like, yeah, guy's no slouch.
No reason to crush it. There's so much unknown there. Chris Ash is the defensive backs coach. He spent last year with the Jaguars, but he had been the head coach at Rutgers prior to that. So he's trying to make his way into the NFL. Jason Simmons is the secondary coach. He's played 10 years with the Steelers and the Texans, but he's been a coach since 2011. He was the defensive pass game coordinator and secondary coach of the Carolina Panthers. And if I'm not mistaken, the Panthers had a couple of good players in their secondary. So could be wrong there, but he is the new secondary coach. Let's see if he can actually change things up with Jonathan Abrams. But here's my favorite hire that they have made. My absolute favorite one. I actually really like the Antonio Pierce hire. Rob Ryan, senior defensive assistant.
Coming Big back, fan. Baby. He always just looked like a Raider coach, Rob Ryan, didn't he?
Wasn't he with the Raiders at one point?
He was. I think he was the defensive coordinator the year we won like one or two games. But the defense was really good. Like, that was it. Like, it was the defense. Like, that was like prime Nnamdi, I want to say. Let me look this up. Rob Ryan, DC.
He definitely was. I know. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, he was with the Raiders from 2004 to 2008 as the D coordinator. You there? Uh-oh. We lost him. Rob Ryan. Hopefully we're going to get him back. I feel like his thing just, oh, damn, his computer just restarted. Whatever. I'll just end it there. This was Black Hole Sundays with Stephen Lankford and Joe Spadoni. Spadoni's computer crapped out on us right at the end, and we couldn't get this done in time. I'm going to end this thing. This was episode 52. We'll see what happens with Max Crosby, the franchise tag deadline, and we will have a new episode for you over the weekend, so stick around for that. Again, this is Black Hole Sunday. Stephen Lankford, Joe Spadoni. Have a great week, everybody.